my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Fantasy Nerd Boy, and I have a very, very bad trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 264 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. It is another week past drafts, rookie drafts, the NFL draft, and all of that. And I'm like so close to being done. It was too much, Rocky. It was too much.
It was too much. I have like 15 more leagues than you do, Russ.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. And the worst part is I have control of over half right. of when the drafts yes. are. And I did it to myself. And like, oh, I'll do three leagues, wait 3 days, do three leagues. And I also didn't notice I messed up one or two of them and they were overlapping in the older ones. Like I thought TA11 was going to be the last draft. It was the fourth, you know, like I hit the wrong day apparently. And it was just,
I think I'm actually done most of the ones that are shortly after the draft. I have like maybe five that are like scattered throughout like June and July and things like that. But other than that, I think I'm mostly done.
Yeah, I think I'm in the middle of my last one that is going to happen in May. Yeah. And then I am going to breathe such a sigh of relief and then be bored and want the rest of my rookie drafts to start.
Oh, that's right. I just remembered that. I'm in that one with you. I just did remember that. That's in the early mid-second now, I think. So that's the only one I have left from May.
Yeah, so it is. All right, so before we get into the actual interviewee stuff, Mike, how many leagues are you in? And what's your rookie draft looking like?
Yeah, so I probably am in a total of 18 leagues right now, not including the redraft leagues that are kind of rolling a little bit right now. We're kind of renewing them as we speak. But yeah, I think 18 total right now. I really skimmed down a lot, but then I really boosted that up a lot at the same time. So I cut down on certain leagues and then I get that itch and I was like, oh, I'll do a startup. Yeah, let's do a startup. Oh, yep. Let's get a startup going.
I've had the cut down build back up multiple times.
Yeah. You know,
it's called Thursday for Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. It's, you know, getting out of some inactive leagues and then, you know, trying to start up other leagues with, you know, guys that you would presume would be active. And that cycle continues every year. But yeah, I think it's 18 right now and I'm probably going to climb up to about 20 before the off season is all said and done with.
All right. Yeah. That's, and how many rookie drafts have you gone through so far?
So I commish about 12 of those leagues and I was pretty adamant about getting those all done, you know, pretty swiftly as far as right after the draft goes. Cause I just was like, all right, I'm going to be crazy for a week, but I'd rather just get this all done. And then, you know, we finished them all up. We did slow drafts for all of them. So it was, you know, sleeper notification after sleeper notification for a week there where I had them all bunched into one. You know, like sleeper does that if you get like over 100 sleeper notifications. And it was just, I couldn't keep up with them. So it was, you know, there were times where I was going into the clock for like 7-8 hours. And, you know, I never do that. I'm never going to be sitting on the clock for that long, but I just couldn't keep up with it. But we got through it. And I think I have two, two more coming up next week, and then the following few are just kind of later in the season, probably in July, maybe even August. I think we're not even, there's a couple leagues that haven't even set the time. I don't even know what picks I have, and they're in a mess right now. So, you know, I didn't get out of those quite yet.
All right. Okay. So let's jump into the actual interviewee part, because I figured Rocky and I are sitting here talking about rookie drafts and we're just being a jerk and leaving you sitting here. Might as well have you join that part of the conversation too. So how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Fantasy football for me probably started in like 2005 or 2004, around there. So I think it was mostly redraft and survivor leagues and whatnot, pretty basic stuff, until about 2011. I think that's when Dynasty really kicked in for me, and the obsession of fantasy football took over. It was probably not until, I think actually 2012 was my first Dynasty year, because I remember getting Andrew Luck and RG3 in that draft of my first. Man, I started Dynasty so hot. You know, my first Dynasty league, it was like RG3, Andrew Luck, Percy Harvin, Jamal Charles. I had Antonio Brown, and it was like I won 3 years in a row. You know, it was like I was like, this Dynasty stuff is amazing. I'm gonna keep winning. And I was trading all my picks, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, oh, you can have this pick, that pick, whatever. And not thinking that, you know, Percy Harvin was gonna just fade out into the oblivion, and Jamal Charles was gonna eventually fade as well. So yeah, I learned the hard way, trading all my picks and not necessarily knowing value and just going for the money, which was good for a few years, but you know. That team did not do well after those first few years. But there was, you know, that's when it really took over for me. And I just started jumping in leagues and really getting involved in content and figuring out, you know, my own player value, learning the hard way, as I like to call it.
That's the way to do it. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made in your lengthy Dynasty career?
There are quite a lot. I'm going to go probably most recent. Because I looked at the show sheet earlier that you sent over, and I was like, man, I could probably list 1,000 of these, but I think probably most recent would be better for the listeners here. So last off season, I did a great trade where it was Najee Harris and a 23 third for Breece Hall and a 23 first. And that turned out to be Breece and Gibbs for Najee, and I think it was like Luke Musgrave or something. You know, it was something.
It was nice to actually try and remember who that player was.
Yeah, I watched the league draft, and I wanted to make sure I knew this trade specifically, because I got roasted for it. People were like, "You traded Najee for Breece Hall," and you know, everyone was just really on me for that, especially on Twitter. If I pulled up the thread, nobody liked that trade, but you know. It's good to revisit those sometimes. And then a really bad one that I did last off season was when Russ first got traded to Denver. It was the 107 and a 24 first for Russ, which ended up being Olave and a 24 first, which, you know, I, not to say that Russ can't, you know, revive that a little bit, but it was a bad trade, a very, very bad trade.
Doesn't look great right now.
Yeah.
Sean Payton's going to bring it back for you, though.
It's not going to look good, but, you know, best case scenario, that 24 first is late, I'm hoping, if Sean Payton really revives him. But, yeah, that was definitely a big L. Pretty fast and quick, you know, it was like – a bad trade immediately. It didn't take that long to realize how bad of a trade that was.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I love using arguments when they work for me and then getting mad when people use it when it works against me. Like, in Dynasty, you could just be like, check with me in 3 years and we'll see how that trade worked out. Because this is Dynasty, baby. We don't think about right now. We think about the future. And then, of course, you know, when it works against me, like, shut up. It was good for me then. You know, it's like yards per carry. It's like one of the worst stats ever. But when it works for me, I will put it in there every single time.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. So what is a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
I think what you really should, well, most people don't look at this, but you have to look at mutual trades. First off, you know, looking at somebody's roster and figuring out exactly what they need. You know, I don't like to offer trades just like randomly to people. I look at a trading partner and I figure out, you know, where they're weak. And then I try to offer up a trade that is mutually beneficial to both of us. I never really look to win a trade. I do want to make both of our teams better. And that's, you know, a principle of mine is necessarily not necessarily looking at trades as wins or losses. You know, I want them to help each other. I want a trade to benefit you just as much as it benefits me. And that's kind of a reason why I created my Discord in the first place was, you know, I started a lot of leagues where people didn't understand value. And I wanted to get these people in a space where they could understand, you know, what trades made sense and how they could, you know, I wanted to help them essentially. So these were like beginning learning leagues where I figured, you know, I could teach them where to take value and how to trade fairly so that, you know, you're not you're shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to certain trades. So I'm always looking to help another manager, but you know, ultimately I want it to help me a little more. So
wow, he like took the Mr. Nice Guy answer and like one-upped it hard. It's not that I like to make it fair. I like to look at the other team and make sure we are both winning because that's what's a good. No, he legitimately wants to help the other team.
And then, yeah. And then like, he starts a Discord to make sure everybody's helping the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to win every time and I want you to feel bad that you lost every time.
I don't want to beat leagues up that are fish, you know. I want them to be at least it doesn't feel good, you know. Everyone's got those home leagues where they're just, you know, winning every league, and I want people to kind of grow and become better dynasty managers in the leagues that I offer up, especially in Twitter where these people don't have a lot of experience. You know, they're jumping in leagues because they don't know where else to go. So I think that's important to kind of teach these kids, you know, how to do trades the right way.
That is the great. I was just gonna say that is the great answer. And Rush just wants to press buttons.
And last week I yelled at someone in a Trade Addicts League that if I knew how good they were at this, I would not have let them in. Like I sent an offer, which if it was a less experienced player, they would have been like, "Yeah, that's cool. I'll do that. That's a fair trade. Let's do it." And he's like, "Well, it's fair, but this and this and that." And I'm like, why were you thinking of that? Stop that. No. Like, why didn't you tell me you knew what you were doing? I wasn't here. I want to win a Trade Addicts League again. Come on. Oh, but speaking of Trade Addicts Leagues, now is when we let the guests choose what we go to next. Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or do you want to do listener questions?
Let's go to trades. Yeah, let's go through these. And right, then finish off with listener questions. Yeah.
Trade Addicts Leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end, receptions with 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And I think this might go down as like one of like every once in a while, I should say, we get asked the question like, when are the lulls in trading? When is the hardest time to trade? Post rookie draft might be one of the hardest times to really get a deal done. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trades total this week. And I think like it's really tough because like I think everyone is like a little bit of shine in their eye. Everyone's like, okay, cool. I made a lot of these rookie picks that I think are going to pay off now. So maybe I am competing, even though everyone else is looking at their team like, oh my God, they're bad. And like everyone's a little rose colored and doesn't want to make a couple like certain moves. Like it's been really tough to get deals done. But let's go into the deals that did get done in Trade Addicts 6. This was super interesting. Mark Andrews got traded for Pat Freiermuth and Dallas Goedert. Now, again, 0.75 premium is very nice for tight ends. And this comes to the age old question of stud versus having the multiple people who on average will score a little less, but you can get them on the right week because you have multiple. So how do you feel about this one, Mike? How do you feel about Mark Andrews for Muth and Dallas Goedert?
I will take the stud, the bona fide stud in that trade. I'll still take Mark Andrews, even though Muth, I think, is pretty solid. Goddard, I think, is overvalued as a tight end to a degree. But I don't know. It just feels like a CeeDee Lamb for Brandon Ayuk and Treylon Burks or something. You know, it just feels like, yeah, you're getting those two players that are pretty good. But I think I still go with the elite piece there because Andrews in a Monken offense with, you know, Trey out of the slot. And I think that's just going to be a pretty electric offense. And I want a piece of that. I definitely want Andrews there.
I think I agree with Mike. I really do like Goddard and Freiermuth a lot. And they were both, at least in trade addicts, scoring top 8 tight ends points per game last year. But Andrews, even in a down year, what was considered a down year with Lamar out for a lot of the year, was still the tight end 3. Just like less than a point, I think less than a point from being tight end 2, which everyone was, you know, is always kind of bunched after Kelsey, especially last year. But we've seen that Andrews can do it. And I think maybe with Lamar back under contract, we get, and again, with, like Mike said, with Monk in there, I think maybe we get 2021 Mark Andrews back. So I will send both those guys for Mark Andrews. I'll take the Andrews side.
I no longer know where my dislike for Mark Andrews not helping me win the championships this year ends, and my for him that has always felt that way begins. Like, I know this offense is going to be different. I wish I knew what this offense was going to be like. I don't remember Todd Monken's offense. For the 3 seconds it shined that got him the head coaching job, it was like Cleveland, right? Like something weird like that. Like, I don't remember what his offense is for to be excited about it, but like, well,
it's also important that it's not Greg Roman's offense.
Anything but Greg.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man. That's really the selling point right there.
I know. Yeah. Todd Monken, he's not Greg Roman.
He's not Greg Roman.
Yeah.
Matt Patricia, he's not Greg Roman. Man, look, so here's my thing. At a points per game difference, I get that Andrews has the ceiling of being the tight end 1, because I think he was like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, I think he was.
And I get that, but if we're talking like a 4 point per game difference at most, I would probably do this trade away Andrews to get Goddard, and then trade Freiermuth away. Sorry, Peter, I know you're going to yell at me, and I'm sorry. Because I think his value is higher than the production will ever be. He's Heath Miller. He is Jason Witten. He is that guy you will never dislike for having in your lineup, but he's also not a guy that's going to help you win, short of if every other tight end gets hurt, because Witten and Miller never really got hurt. They just always freaking played, which is why they were always top 12 tight ends. So, like, I think that's kind of where I lean on this one. You know, with our premium, and especially with a lot of league going around now with full 2 points, which is just, I get it. It's 0.25 more than what we do. So it's not that big of a difference. But just hearing the phrase 2 points per reception is just like, no. Like, yeah, I get it. I get paying up for the stud. But I don't think I want to do that here with these players. Even though everything I did just say makes it sound like I could just change my first sentence. And it does sound like I want the stud here, because there's a 4 point difference between the guy you're getting, the guy I want, and the guy I'm sending away. And then I'm just trading away the other guy, 'cause I don't really like him that much. So like that's not a very good endorsement of the side I am choosing, but I still think like that would be my play in May right now. Like the value play to me would be, I would feel good holding on to Goddard and then sending Muth away. And then probably somewhere down the line, trading away Goddard for a wide receiver, 'cause I just love wide receivers.
I don't know if this changes what you think at all. I just was just looking. No. It's not totally a fair comparison, but it's actually a 21 Andrews, like stud Andrews that we saw, and last year's Goddard and Freiermuth, which is the best I think we've seen of them in their careers. It's 7 points per game over Goddard and 9 over Freiermuth.
Oh, that does change a lot. That's more than I thought it was.
It was 22 points, slightly over 22 points per game for Andrews in 21. Goddard was 15.2 last year. Freiermuth was 13.03 in the 1.75.
That does negate everything that I was thinking about. I really did not think it was that far apart.
No, obviously they weren't that far apart last year. This is high-end like, Andrews, yeah.
Like the best we've seen of both, really. Ugh, I mean, like, I get it. That's why I keep you here, Rocky. You make sense. You're the smart guy. But, like, don't do that to me on air. Like, that's not what you do.
Sorry, I'll wait till after the show.
The show, you're just like, Rock, here's what you screwed up. And we never talk about it again.
My bad.
The next trade we have is Kyler Murray in a 24 first for Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go first here because I don't want Rocky to say something smart and change my mind. I think this trade is perfect for everyone. If I'm competing, I would easily send Kyler Murray in my 24 first to go get Lamar Jackson. I would have done that when we didn't know what was going on with Lamar. And if I'm rebuilding, getting Kyler Murray in a 24 first is great. Even though I get it, Lamar's like 26, maybe? Like, he's young. I get it. You can still easily build around him. But getting a quarterback that has a very similar ceiling when both healthy and, you know, goodbye Greg Roman, goodbye Cliff Kingsbury, those are both great things. And getting a first on top, that seems like a super win for a rebuilding team. So I really, really just like this trade in general.
I was going to let Mike go, but since he's just nodding, I will talk first.
I don't know what to do. What do I do with my mouth? I'm just sitting here.
For anybody who listens regularly, I don't think it's a surprise. I would take Kyler in the first here. I've been very pro.
There's the Muppet running by.
I've been very pro Kyler. But I agree with what you said, Russ. I mean, if you're competing, I can see it. I'd have to feel pretty confident that, like, say that's my first and I'm definitely a playoff team. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I don't know if that was the case, but that's what I said. Like, yeah. I would send Kyler and my first for Murray, assuming, again, competing.
Yeah, I can see it. In a vacuum, I'd rather have Kyler in the 24 first just because, like you said, when they're both in 24, when you're making that pick, Kyler, I expect to be scoring just as much as Lamar Jackson. So it's basically you're getting the guy this year and adding the 24 first to for the points this year is basically what it is for me. I don't think there's a huge difference between. Yeah, and I get it. Like you said, if it's a late 24 first, it does make sense. But I'd still rather take Kyler and bank that first. And hopefully I can piece together the first 8 games and hopefully Kyler's back for the second half.
Yeah. Without context, I would probably take Lamar there. That 24 first is definitely the deal breaker one way or the other. You know, if it's an early 24 first, I just don't expect them to play Kyler almost. I don't know if they're going to play him at all this year. I mean, I think he'll probably come back to get his sea legs back and, you know, play at the end of the year. But I don't see any reason for them to rush him back and get him back anytime before, you know, week 10. I just don't see it. So if you're competing and you want to go and win the ship, Kyler's not going to help you there. So I don't mind that trade. But like I said, if that first is mid to early, it's definitely Kyler. Cause I don't think there's a mid to early first between Kyler and Lamar at all. So
in a normal time and day, yeah, I agree, but this ain't no normal time of day. And then, you know, if they don't play Kyler the entire year and then they end up with the 101, where's Kyler going to play? Because I don't think anyone's passing on Caleb Williams. And it's really funny because Corey in the chat says Kyler to the Falcons next year. All I care is I need a year of Desmond Ridder. I need a year because I bought pretty hard into his football cards. In hopes to flip them mid-season. But, like, I have time. I need that time.
Yeah, I have a lot of Ridder as a dart throw. I mean, he was free for all of last year. And then, yeah, I have a lot of his cards too. So I'm with you on that. We're going to ride that wave together. So
yeah, I need that to happen. And then, oh man, Roman says, Kelsey and Andrews on FCE team, hope they carry me. And yeah, I don't care. Like, there's the 0.2, 0.1 tight end premium, and you start with Kelsey and Andrews, that's the right thing to do. Like, yeah. Oh, that's so pretty. Okay, the next trade, we move to TA7, and we have Javonte Williams for a 24 first. And this is another one that is super interesting to me because I like Javonte Williams, sort of. I never seem to be as high on Javonte Williams as the rest of the world seem to be. And I think now it's sinking into everyone that he is probably not playing for the beginning of the season and won't be full speed for a while into it, which is why I've been like slowly slipping Samaje Perine into all of my teams that are competing. I should probably do it on all of them just so I could sell them a little bit. But is a first enough for you, Mike, to just, if you have Javonte Williams sitting on your team, that means you probably have had him sitting there for a while. Is just a random 24 first enough to just make you say, you know what, I'm going to take some sort of price back from this weight of Javonte that I've been holding on to for months?
Yeah, I think I would probably take a first for Javonte. I think he's going to have the trajectory of like Dobbins, you know, for example. I think that's exactly what we're going to see. Is he's not going to come back immediately. And if he does come back, it's going to be like touch and go for a little while. You know, he might play a little bit and then not play a little bit and then play a little bit, and managers might get even more frustrated. I saw Dobbins' value go even farther down, you know, even when he came back. I saw him going for mid to late seconds. You know, he was worth nothing at a point in time. People were just giving him away. And I think we might see that dip happen to Javonte if he doesn't come back right away and people get even more frustrated than they already are. So I think cashing out on him now before, you know, maybe that he gets lucky and that first ends up a little earlier. I don't mind that at all. If you're just ready to get out from under him, that's fine.
I will say, as a counterpoint to Mike said, because me and Mike would make great trade partners, because I think we've disagreed on like every trade so far. But except maybe that first one we agreed on. But anyway, I actually made this exact trade with J Mike, I think, in TA6. I think it was either right after the season or maybe during the playoffs, somewhere around there. And I gave up the 24 first. So I would rather have Javonte. I'd still rather have Javonte. And I was starting to say, as a counterpoint to what Mike said, I will say I don't think anyone's given up Dobbins for seconds now. So despite him not having a great season, I mean, there's probably some people out there, but I think he's at least worth, especially the way this draft shook out. I think this year's draft, you could get a late first for him. I still think Javonte, eventually, if you want to, you could still cash out. As long as he doesn't like miss the whole year or something, I think we'll see enough from him. And I don't think Samaje Perine's, I mean, they could still bring somebody in. Zeke's still out there. Fournette's still out there. But right now, anyway, I don't think Perine is such a threat to him that if he does come back, that he's going to, you know, be.
No.
Exactly. So I agree there could be compensation injuries and things like that, kind of the things we saw with Dobbins. But I still think his value will rebound, and I hold on to these guys too long, because I was a Dobbins truther, and I still am, and I'm a Javonte truther. So I still think we're going to see the best of Dobbins this year, finally. And even if you don't get it from Javonte in 24 or 23, I kind of look at it like I'm getting him at 24 for that 24 first, even if 23 doesn't pan out that great.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm big on Dobbins. I think Dobbins is going to have a great year, especially in that offense. We just talked about that. But I like to play that game of, okay, if I can sell him for max value in my mind, and I think that value is going to dip, I would love to buy him back for less than what I sold. You know, if I could buy him back for a second and I got a first out of the deal, you know, somewhere down the line, I would always keep poking that bear to see how frustrated managers get. Because I've done that with Dobbins, actually. You know, I've sold him for a late first and I got him for a second. And it was kind of, you know, swapping and just trying to stay on that, you know, just stay on that button and just making sure that these people, you know, each week aren't overly frustrated and looking for any kind of compensation for, you know, I you just got to know your lead mates, I guess, more than anything else.
I am here 100% for 100% J.K. Dobbins next season.
Yes.
That was a very tough sentence. Even when I said it slowly, I screwed it up. And I knew I had to slow it down for me to be able to actually say those words. And it didn't work. The next trade we have. Oh, by the way, yeah, I'll take the first. I want Javonte to be a thing. I was more not really joking about the whole Samaje Perine thing, but like he is their starter as of right now. And that team is going to be better than last year. So like their running back might be worth something. So the next trade we have is, this is fun. Trade Addicts 10, where Kenny Pickett got traded for Baker Mayfield and Jonathan Mingo. This is literally the only trade we have post rookie draft with a rookie included. So I was very excited to have this on here. I totally forgot to look it up. Oh, hold on. I have an ADP at least that I can look this up. And hold on, let me. Mingo in Trade Addicts ADP was the 206. So to put that out there. So Baker and the 206 for Kenny Pickett. I mean, no one here is the biggest Kenny Pickett fan, I'm sure. But just, I know Rocky and I just took a swing on the fact that, you know, Mike wouldn't be. But
yeah,
that's a really good price for a young, stable, jobbed quarterback.
He's got a good home. He comes from a good family. Yeah. I mean, that's – yeah, I like that. And I'm seeing Mingo as valued everywhere. I saw him going in the early first in some spots. I saw him as a 201, the 202. I see a lot of people reaching on Mingo. I don't know how you guys feel about him. I'm not in on him at current ADP.
I'm not either, but I've seen the same thing. I've seen him go anywhere from like 112 to like, I remember we did it on my other podcast, Dynasty Junkie. We did a rookie mock draft after the Thursday after the draft. And I took him at 210. This was with other analysts on the show. And they kind of hated my pick of Mingo at 210. And I've seen him. I don't think I've seen him go as late as 210 in almost any draft.
Yeah.
I was basically just going off the draft capital. You know, it seemed to value at 210. I'm not super into him either. Plus, he's like, you know, there's not that much else there. So he's going to have some opportunity. But, yeah, I've seen him all over the place. I'm with you. But I agree. I mean, I don't have much else to say about this trade. I think that's really cheap for Pickett, and I don't even like Pickett that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Reed, Bob Gilchrist, and I did a mock draft for Fantasy Cares YouTube right after the NFL draft. And Mingo went at, like, the 201, 202 area. In all of the Trade Addicts leagues, he went as early as pick 15 and as late as pick 24 was the latest he went. So that's pretty much exactly what you guys said. He didn't get drafted in the first at all, but early second to late second, like anywhere in there. Here's the thing. Like the reason I like Mingo, and it's more than just the draft capital, but I mean, that super helps, but there are a lot of very steady pass catchers. A lot. There are two. There's Adam Thielen and Hayden Hurst, who are very dependable. You throw the ball, they get their hands on it, they're going to catch it, and then probably get tackled. You know, but like Mingo's a little exciting. You know, he's different. And sure, they also have Terrace Marshall and I think Fisk is still there. But like, are we still holding hope for them at this point? Probably not. So that does leave Mingo as the lone firecracker, whatever bad cliche word you want to use in there. And that's what makes me like him a little more. Because I think especially if Carolina is as bad as they're probably going to be, their offense is going to be dink and dunk, three-yard pass. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get a 12-yard pass that goes for 60 at a Mingo. At least like crossing my fingers, like they're gonna be like, oh, we don't have to worry, you know, we're just gonna play, you know, tight man, one guy over the top just to be safe, because they have no offensive line, so we're gonna be able to rush. We're gonna be able to tackle their guys as soon as they catch it. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, Mingo. Yeah, you know, but again, no proof of this whatsoever. But when you're at pick 24, do you need any more than that to feel good about your pick? I don't think so. But all again, that being said, this is pretty easily Kenny Pickett. But what I love about this, and I love about the Trade Addicts leagues, the same day, Kenny Pickett got traded for Najee Harris. And this is a lot closer to me. What's your feeling on this one, Mike?
I'll take Najee pretty easily there. I get that you're QB needy. And in a super flex league, it feels okay. But I just don't think they're that close in value personally. I think it's Najee. I would probably need I want to say a second on top of Kenny Pickett. I'm also, like you said, you read me like a book. I'm not very high on Kenny Pickett. I think he's going to be a fine starter, a fine QB2, but I don't think he's ever going to be in that value. He's never going to climb above like the Goff territory for me, you know, in startups. So yeah, Najee pretty easily.
This one, I am totally on board with Mike. It's pretty easily Najee for me too. And one of the things I would add to what Mike said is Kenny Pickett. Is not a guy I feel, not that I think he definitely won't, but I'm not super confident he lasts beyond his rookie contract. So he might not have, like, he's a quarterback, but he might not have a shelf life longer than a running back. So that just makes it easier for me to take Najee in this trade, because it's not like, oh, you're giving up 10 years of Kenny. I mean, you could be, but I don't feel confident that he's necessarily making it beyond year 4 or 5, in which case he's probably going to be, if that is what happens, you're going to have probably about as many years of Kenny Pickett as you are of Najee. And I think Najee wasn't nearly as good last year, but I still think he's closer to the guy in year one than is the guy in year two. So I think you're going to get a lot more value over replacement from Najee than you are from Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I'd have to say value-wise, I think it's probably pretty close though. Like I think value-wise in general, this probably is Najee, but I saw this and I literally just been like, I mean, all right, I don't really necessarily want either of them, but I think I do have higher hopes of Najee having a good season compared to the rest of his position than I do Kenny Pickett. So if at equal value and me saying what I just said about, like, you know, Najee probably doing, like you said, better than replacement, I guess, you know, then the answer is Najee. Yeah. 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 I'm not going to try and talk myself out of that one. All right, so that was our last trade, so we're going to move on to listener questions. This first one is interesting. At FF Tommy B, what is your counter strategy against portfolio players? Now, to the best of my knowledge, portfolio players is really, like, the strategy is really just diversification and playing, what, higher odds on high-ceiling players? Like, I don't really know, like,
yeah, so I think his question needs a little more context because, you know, if somebody's asked me that before and it's more about his – so it's your portfolio players, or it could be, you know, his league mates' portfolio players. And that, for instance, would be like if somebody, you know, loves CeeDee Lamb and has a high exposure to him, maybe – I don't know. I just need a little more – is it – How do we build around the players that we think we need a lot of exposure to? Is that how you kind of get that?
When I think of portfolio players, it's the people that are in 60, 70 leagues and names don't really mean anything to them. It's, you know, positional advantage, it's positional rankings, and it's never being too high on one person because putting your eggs in one basket is against the portfolio way of thinking. And the truth is, I don't know if there's an answer to that, because the way I took this is me being in a league and I am the opposite of a portfolio player. I might be in 20 something leagues, but I don't care who I have on how many teams. If I like a player, I'm probably going to have too many of them. even when I try not to, and I'm like, all right, this team I'm going to try and build differently. Crap, I have Higgins and Waddle again. Wait, I'm not sad I have Higgins and Waddle. What am I talking? So, like, I'm the opposite of that. So, like, the real answer is I don't know, but my guess of an answer would be finding players that have good, because usually it's based on numbers. It's more of a numbers game than it is a tape game. So you find the guys, the analytics guys, like, and hoard them, you know, and hope that you got the kind of guy that they aren't oversaturated in, and maybe they come and go for them. Like, I don't have a real answer for this one. I hope something I said made any sense and was hopefully somewhat helpful.
Yeah, and there's also apps that you can find your exposure as far as anybody. You want to find out, you know, what Rocky has for exposure. You take his MFL name or you take his sleeper name and you plug it into an app, and I can find out how many players he has exposed as far as, you know, he has 38% Kenny Pickett, he has 55% Waddle, and, you know, 100% to Najee or whatever. I can see who you love, and it's a great tool to have if you want to take advantage of, you know, certain league mates that, you know, they don't know what they have, and you know what players they fall in love with. It's a good tool. I can't really drop the name right now. I don't know it off the top of my head, but there's quite a few rostership sites out there that you can plug anybody's name into and find out.
Dynasty Planet is the one I use.
Yeah, that's the one I heard. Yeah, I was thinking of too. I don't know. I'm with you, right? I don't know that I have a great answer for this either. If you can find out who they're heavy on, maybe that's a way, like, and make a play for those guys. I wasn't aware you could, it was. I knew you could plug in sleeper names, but I wasn't sure if MFL you could really do that with.
It asks for your MFL login.
That's
the, oh, it does? Also need the password. Yeah. It's not something you can just.
So I don't know.
At least Dynasty Planet, maybe there
sleeper
is.
you can just
put their name in. Yeah. So if they're in a sleeper league, you can just put anybody's name in there, and it'll pop up.
Worth a shot if you know you're in the league with those kind of players,
and especially if you know the guy plays in a lot of sleeper leagues too, that you can maybe get most of his rostership, even if you're not getting or her rostership, even if you don't have their MFL leagues, if they have any.
Next, we have @V_Pizzle. Who was your favorite NFL player growing up, and who is your favorite player now? There's a few questions, but we'll take them one at a time. Rocky, you go first. Who was your favorite growing up, and who's your favorite now?
Favorite growing up, when I was really young, probably Randall Cunningham, because I'm an Eagles fan, and he's just great. It was fun to watch anyway. And also, I don't know how old I was. I don't know if it counts as growing up, but Barry Sanders is an older player that stuck out for me, too, that wasn't an Eagle. favorite player now? I guess I'm just going to be basic, and I'm still sticking with the Eagles running quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
You have a type. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But again, especially him, it's been great to watch him grow over the first few, you know, from what he was his first year to basically like a superstar and borderline MVP now, and almost won the Super Bowl and all that stuff. So he's just really, and he just seems like a great, I feel like, if you follow him closely, he's a great guy, great leader, all that real life stuff too. So, yeah, I'll go with Jalen Hurts.
Nice. Yeah. So I was a big Cowboys fan growing up because of Emmitt Smith. I was just in love with his game. That era of the Cowboys with Troy Aikman, Emmitt, I just, you know, that was my team. And I was probably the only Cowboys fan in Massachusetts, at least in my neighborhood. So I had my Emmitt Smith jersey, and I followed his career all the way to the end, and then eventually the Patriots took over. And that was
everywhere
the end of
around you, yeah.
End of my story. But yeah, it had to be Emmitt Smith. And then most recently, I think I have to go. I'm going with the Smith. So Devonta Smith.
I love that.
Rockies guys. I love the little guys, you know. Devonta is you know, skinnier than me, and he's he's doing everything that I'd love to be doing on a football field. He's amazing, and I love his game. I love that he's a Celtics fan. You know, I think he's just a great player to follow. So even though I don't like the Eagles at all, I love DeMonta Smith.
I love that choice, and as an Eagles fan, I think AJ Brown is probably the better overall player and the better fantasy player. But I love DeVonta Smith more, even as an Eagles fan. He's just some of the stuff he can do, and then doing it as tiny as he is, as we all like to point out when he came out his rookie year, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, first of all, like you said, there's not a lot of Cowboys fans growing from Massachusetts. If you grew up in Central New Jersey in the 80s and 90s, everyone in my area pretty much came from Brooklyn. So you're either like a Giants fan because you had no choice, or you were a 49ers or a Cowboy fan because you didn't know what else to do, and you rooted for the people that were winning. So, and then the random people who just like Dan Marino a lot. So there was a couple of Dolphins fans. But I was one of those people that didn't have a choice growing up, and I was a Giants fan. But, I mean, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball. But, man, like, Lawrence Taylor is the exact opposite of what, you know, Rocky thinks about Jalen Hurts. He's not necessarily the greatest of human beings, or he wasn't. I don't know what he is nowadays. But, like, they literally had to change the game to stop him. Like, the blind side is a thing because of Lawrence Taylor. Like he was... When you don't know anything about football, no less defensive side of football, because I feel like if you don't know sports, you could sit and watch offense and it's exciting. You know, people scoring points, baskets, goals, whatever. It's fun. But like, you watch LT come off the end and just slip through a guy, barrel over a guy, just do anything he wanted and just destroy, sometimes literally, quarterbacks. It was just like, yeah, I like watching that. That's fun. I don't care about Phil Simms on the other side. It's Lawrence Taylor. Let's go. And now, I mean, like, T. Higgins and Calvin Ridley's going to step on the field, and I'm going to have a really hard decision to make at that point. But, like, I could say T now because Ridley hasn't played in a little bit. The second I see Ridley in that new green jersey, I just wish he was number 18 or 8 or what, just not number 0. I hate the number 0 thing. I just, old man yelling at clouds, I don't care. But man, I love me some Calvin Ridley, and I'm ready for that green jersey.
I'm still not over wide receivers being able to wear non-80s numbers, so.
As I cover the number 8 on number 5 of T. Higgins behind me. Top buy / sell this offseason in Dynasty. Man, mine used to be Devonta, but it's not like a secret anymore. Yeah, like when the season first ending, I was getting I was getting Devonta on like every single one of my teams. Right now, I honestly don't have anyone. Like,
I don't know my answer. I don't really even think – I don't even really look at it like that way necessarily. Maybe sells when guys have value bumps during the offseason, which I don't think anybody's really having that much of one right now. Now they're a little past the draft and all that. But, yeah, I mostly – I treat trades other than, like I said, like artificial value bumps, which even in a lot of our leagues, like we were playing with a lot of smart people, like the – go sell this guy now. A lot of times doesn't work because like everyone in the league is like, you know, knows that you're supposed to sell this guy now because he just had this, you know, training video come out or some guy got hurt on his team or whatever. I mostly just treat it the way I do for most of the year, which is just, I look at your team. I look at my team. Do I like this guy? As we get closer to the season, do I need this position? So yeah, I don't really have – I mean, I think I've mentioned earlier in the offseason and earlier in this podcast, I like buying Kyler just because he's cheaper than he should be. And because, like as Mike said earlier, he's probably not going to play a significant portion of the year, so it makes sense. But he's still going to play for, I think, quite a few years and score you a bunch of points. So he might be one guy I would say is a buy, but I've mentioned him before.
In the chat, Corey says, Marquise Brown, buy now for next year.
Caleb.
I like Hollywood for sure. I like attaching anybody in that offense, but like you said, they could easily get the 101 and Kyler might not even be on that team next year. So I think my buys are really league dependent. You know, it depends on my build. It depends on, you know, what direction my team is going in. I'm not going to buy Kyler Murray on a contending team right now. So it doesn't really translate to being a buy in all of my leagues. You know, certain guys, I think I'm buying Goff right now. You know, I think he's going to get a new extension on that team. I don't think Hendon Hooker is going to be the starter anytime soon, if ever, on that team.
Russ doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
I've seen Russ drafting a lot of Hendon Hooker.
So much. Because he just, at the end of the second, I'm like, how am I not just going to take a chance on that?
I don't blame you. I mean, that's value in that area. I just think Goff is going to be, you know, very serviceable, and I think he's going to do just enough to get a new contract, to get an extension this year. So he's definitely one of my favorite buys. I'll buy Najee, you know, at his current value. I think he's definitely going to bolster up a little bit. I think he played hurt most of last year. I sell most running backs, you know. I sold a lot of Walker and even Breece Hall. I try to sell people that I have high exposure to, especially in the running back world, where that peak value is only going to really be peak for a year or two. You know, like JT was a first round value for a year, and now he's in the end of the second, early third, and then next year he'll be in the fourth. That's kind of how it goes with most running backs. So, yeah, I like to just, you know, play that trending role of selling players that I think are going to go on that downward turn, even though I think they're still going to be valuable. I do like to take advantage of that value being at peak, you know, and that's kind of my own judgment most of the time.
The end. All right. Next we have, how many games will the Celtics versus Heat series go?
I feel attacked here.
I don't even understand what that means.
The Celtics just took the Sixers out by like 30 points in game 7.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
I think, yeah, this was directed to Mike, because Mike, I think he said he's a Celtics fan, but maybe this. So I'm just making a joke because the Celtics destroyed the Sixers.
I think this is a guy in my Discord, so I think he's either, he knows that you're a Philly fan, or he's just looking for things to talk to about, you know, kind of connect. I guess I don't know, but I think it's going to go 7. I think, you know, most series go 7 at this point. You know, it's not any other reason besides these teams being both very good at, you know, the peak time of the season. So I can't do much analysis there.
You did more than I could do. And what is the best midnight snack?
I eat a lot of my kids' fruit snacks. You know, I think that's probably my go-to when I'm up and I'm giving my kid a bottle. I'm eating fruit snacks because we go to Costco and we get a box, you know, that you need to carry in with two hands, and yeah. I'm not sitting there cooking food. So either cold pizza or fruit snacks for me.
Rock.
I don't know if I really have. I don't eat a lot of midnight snacks. I guess the one thing I thought of when I saw this, and I'm sure this is not good to be eating late at night, but I love some, I'll eat some ice cream, some chocolate marshmallow ice cream. If I want to grab a snack late at night, that's my personal favorite. Turkey Hill chocolate marshmallow ice cream.
Nice.
It's nice and gooey with the marshmallow.
I go for Oreos, I think, are some of my favorite. That's a good one. Like, it depends. If my wife is on board, it's either Oreos or Chips Ahoy and milk. But, like, if it's all right, I'm ready to go, like, after this, I'm going to go up to go to bed, find that my daughter is in my bed. So I'm going to be like, carry her over, drop her in her room, and then just be like, all right, well, I just did that. That was a lot of work. I think I deserve a reward for that. Like, I'll go downstairs, grab two Oreos or a couple of Fig Newtons or something and call it a night. Like, that's my go-to. Like, if we're talking when I was, like, young and staying awake past midnight, like Doritos all day, But like, I can't imagine going for Doritos at midnight nowadays. That is just how old I am.
Yeah, I'm never up at midnight unless I'm woken up by a child. So
it is so great when that stops.
And even if I'm up at midnight, I'm usually not eating.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm usually down here talking to people about football.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The next is at Dynasty Scaredy. Has Dalton Kincaid become a sell already? I have just never been in on this price. Like, hold on. Let's see where it ended after all of our drafts.
I'm with you on that, Russ.
Dalton Kincaid has an ADP of the 107. That's insane.
Wait, he has an ADP of 107? He averages going at the 107?
Yeah, I have seen him go before Zay Flowers and QJ.
Oh, it's
going to
be
drafts.
108 because I don't know what is wrong with MFL.
I heard this on the last week's podcast, even though I wasn't on the questionable
but thing. Jahmyr Gibbs is not on the list, and I am going to just guess that he is now marked questionable for some reason.
Yeah, yep. White guys are getting injury designations in May. I don't know.
Jahmyr Gibbs is questionable. So, yeah, it'll push him down a spot. But stop messing with my freaking spreadsheets. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would. I think anybody's a sell if they get to that point, you know, because it's very rare for a rookie tight end to develop into a weapon, even though, you know, he's got a great landing spot and, you know, people are projecting him to be the second option in that offense, this and that. There's still a lot of growing pains and a lot of development that needs to happen for most tight ends. And he's just never going to get to that ADP for me, production wise. So he's definitely a sell. If I can move him for one of those wide receivers in that range, I'll do that in a second.
All right. Yeah. I put Gibbs in correctly. And yeah, he got down to the 108. Drafted as early as 7 and never later than 10.
Wow.
That's, and I get it. We have the 0.75 premium, but like, what? What? Like, I'm very curious to. I mean, hold on. I mean, I can find out if there have been any trades involving him.
Yeah.
As I go and pull up the DLF trade finder because, like, I have to. I don't know. Like,
While you're doing that, I know you and Zach talked about him last week some too. And I mean, I kind of agree. I going pre-draft, I had him as my tight end 2 behind. I like Mayer. And I still like Mayer. I probably still say Kincaid would be my tight end 1, but I don't want to draft any tight end, any rookie tight end that high, which I think you guys also talked about last week. I don't want to draft any tight end at 108 anymore. I was going to say except Pitts, but we've even seen it with Pitts. You know, I mean, he's still worth his value's never dipped. I think dipped like that far, but like not below a first or anything like that. But we've seen it so many times with tight ends where their value will dip because they don't produce that first year, and hardly any of them ever do. And I'm not sure that Kincaid is going to break that trend, despite the fact that it's Buffalo, despite the fact that he got first-round draft capital. I still think we're going to probably see something like, at best, like 55 catches for 650 yards and a handful of touchdowns or something like that.
And we will be shouting from the rooftops that it was a successful rookie year.
Yeah.
So I'm scrolling through the trade finder and we have, I'm trying to like, it's tough because not often do you find trades where a rookie tight end is like a main part, but we have Dalton Kincaid for George Pickens. A 24th first for Kincaid. Oh, wow. There needs to be more than this because this is Dalton Kincaid for Drake London.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't even like, I'm not the hugest Drake London guy, but I'll take Drake London.
Gosh. Yeah. That's so easily Drake London. It feels like I'd have questions about that trade. You know,
I love not having the context though. Like I love something probably happened in between there, but who knows? I don't want to go find out. I love it. Nope. And the second question is, will Mac Jones be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2024?
21, yes. 22, yeah. 23.
Unless Bill Belichick isn't the coach for the Patriots, then I think.
Well, right now, Bill Belichick being the coach seems to be the problem. From what I'm hearing, they are butting heads or whatever that means. Yeah, I think he will be, especially because that's the last year of his rookie contract. So, you know, 25, I guess we'll see. But like,
yeah, I think he'd have to be awful this year. And I don't think he's going to be awful for him to not start in 24. Like you said, with Bill O'Brien there, he actually at least has a competent offensive coordinator now, too. So I think he'll be decent enough that he starts the rest of his rookie contract.
Yeah, I mean, he did more with less his rookie year than he has this year, I believe. I guess the juju to Jacoby Myers is kind of a lateral move, but
disrespect.
Oh my goodness, are you a juju guy?
Or
are
yeah, you a juju guy?
What? Who's a juju guy?
This guy.
That's crazy. I've never met a juju guy before.
This guy.
No way. I talk to guys all day long about fantasy football. You're the first juju guy I've ever met.
Me, Peter Howard. At least Ryan McDowell used to be. I don't know if he still is. He's probably too old for Ryan at this point. But, oh, yeah, definitely. Juju guy.
Huh. All right.
I mean, I'm not silly anymore. I'm not paying for him, but I think he's more talented than Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I mean, don't sleep on Jacoby. Not so
bad. I don't think he's bad. I just think I did not mean to disrespect Jacoby. And if I know you listen, buddy, so sorry. I did not mean this. I mean, it's Juju. I don't know what's going on.
That's interesting. I mean, I have some exposure to Juju, so I hope your love for Juju is valid. And
my love for Juju will create good Juju for your teams.
All right. Love to hear it.
Okay, so next, at @FF_Rees, according to Sleeper ADP, gross, which of these players are the best value?
That was my thought.
Okay, so here, check this out. He has JSN at wide receiver 13, Quentin Johnston at wide receiver 20, Jordan Addison at wide receiver 22 somehow, and Zay Flowers at wide receiver 26. Like, the answer is screamingly Addison.
So yeah, it's so easy to make it Addison.
Only because of it's the two spots below Quentin Johnston, because he should be much closer to JSN to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've said that many times, and I've had that conversation with a lot of people about Addison being very close to JSN, and not a lot of people agreeing to that, but he is a lot closer to JSN than he is to Addison or Flowers by a lot for me.
And he seems clearly to be the guy most likely to produce the most out of the rookie wide receivers in year one. And there's so much value to that alone. Like, I don't think he's good, but I think a lot of us, including myself, said that about Lave last year, and then he got elevated so much, like, to me. Like, I dislike Lave, but he's like wide receiver, like 7 or something like that. He's very, very high.
Yeah.
But we all expected it. It almost feels like double counting to me. Like, we expected him to be the best, probably the best producing wide receiver given, you know, his pedigree, and that he was stayed in school, and that he was going to a team where it looked like he could produce, and then he did. But it wasn't to like a, you know, Justin Jefferson rookie year level, I don't believe. And
that's not fair.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying it almost feels like double counting to me that like we elevated him so high, and I think something, maybe not to that degree, but something similar could happen with Addison. And definitely there's a much better chance of it happening with Addison than any of these other three guys.
I agree. Yeah. I've called him the Olave of the class, because I do agree that he's going to jump in value. He's going to probably produce the most he's going to outproduce JSN this year, I think, or come very close to his production.
Well, it's funny because I think what it really is, I don't think it's double counting. I think it's just that we got so excited that we're sort of right about it. Like that wide receiver that was drafted in the end of the first that was on kind of a crappy team. And they were just like, no, this guy's going to do well. This guy's really good. He, all right, might not be as good as the rest of these guys, but he's going to come out. He's going to score. He's going to do well. We were right. He did well. Wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a little bit, does kind of feel like that's what it is, but I'm here for it because wide receiver one, we were right. I don't know. Like, I think honestly, chances are all of these guys being around wide receiver 20 is probably the right answer. But especially when they throw JSN at wide receiver 13, Addison being down to 22 just seems way too low.
Yeah, I agree. If JSN wasn't there, you know, then I probably
like if JSN was like 18, Flowers was 20, Johnston was 22, like that'd be like, no, that feels right. I don't think anyone's a goodbye. That's right. Yeah. Like, but yeah, the fact that they had JSN all the way up at 13, okay, that's just no, that's not that that is wrong. That is probably right, but the rest of it feels wrong because of that. Yeah. Our last question at Superflex Junkie: what is your preferred order when drafting wide receivers in the second round of rookie drafts? And the only person to answer my question of what Fantasy Cares eliminators did you enter, he said he just jumped into McDowell 5, and huge respect for Ryan for being able to fill at least 5 of these and being willing to do at least 5 of these.
Yeah.
Like, we did 3 one year and I was like, that was too much.
I'm doing 1 and I'm checked out. Cause I'm also doing it with guys that are unfamiliar with MFL. So it's just another layer of explaining and babying and
okay. Talking. So here, I'm going to explain all you non MFL people. You don't have to go anywhere. On the front page, there is make a draft pick. There is see the draft. There is your roster. There is literally nowhere you have to go. Every button you need is on the homepage. The end. There you go. You know enough about MFL to do the eliminators. And
the MFL haters will say, why is there a homepage and not an app?
Because when you hit the internet button and you have it set as a favorite, or hear me out.
I'm with you.
I don't know about iPhones because I don't like them, at least on Android. When you go to bookmark, right below bookmark is add to your homepage. That's practically a freaking app. It's the mobile site on your, where you click one button and you're there. Like that. That's what an app is, right?
Yeah.
Deal with it. Oh my God. Get over. So what is your preferred order when drafting wide receivers in the second? Again, let me pull up our Trade Addicts ADP and let's go to the second where there's a lot of running backs, but here we go. We start at the 206 is where we have our first wide receiver. It goes from Zay Flowers at the 110 is Charbonnet, A-Chain, Michael Mayer, Sam Laporta, Kendre Miller, Roschon Johnson, and then you hit Rashee Rice. Like, there's a run of not wide receivers. But then you get Rashee Rice, Jonathan Mingo, Marvin Mims, Josh Downs, Jaden Reed, Jalen Hyatt. And then we're mid-third by the time I just want to say Tank Dell because I like guys named Tank. So
it's a shame MFL calls him Nathaniel.
Yeah, it's the worst. I almost want to create a custom player just to be Tank Dell, but then I have to do the scoring manually. So what is your order of these guys? Rashee Rice, Jonathan Mingo, Marvin Mims, Josh Downs, Jaden Reed. I'm going to throw Jaden Reed in there.
Yeah, I would go Downs, Rice, Mingo, and then
Reed.
Reed, yeah. Did I miss somebody there? You said Hyatt's definitely behind. I would put Hyatt behind Reed.
Well, Hyatt's after Reed anyway, and he's at the 302, and I don't think any of us are really putting him above any of those guys anyway. So if I did say it, then I didn't really mean to say it out loud. Honestly, this might be my answer. Like, the order it's listed might be my answer, but, like, here's the thing. I want to take the shot at maybe Rashee Rice is that guy in Kansas City. I want that shot. I want to take the shot that Jonathan Mingo is everything I said before. I really like Marvin Mims and I love him in Denver. I will probably put him to the top, even though I wouldn't draft in that order. Like, having the best deep ball tracker play with the best deep ball thrower in the league just sounds like it makes sense to me. Now, is that going to translate into fantasy points, consistent fantasy points? Probably not. Like, I want it to, but it's risky. So I think my answer is pretty much this order. I liked Josh Downs more than at the 211. I like Alec Pierce, and that's why I hate that that Downs landed in Indianapolis. Like, I wanted him to go somewhere where he could walk in and I would be happy with his placement as the wide receiver. Hi. There's an animal in the background. What's the kitty's name?
That's Bacon.
Hey, Bacon. Say it's hi. A cutie black cat.
We have a bacon and a waffles.
Oh, that's
nice.
If I wasn't a fan of you before, which I was, an even bigger one now. That's wonderful. But I think that's my order. And like, I wasn't the biggest fan of Jaden Reed in the first place, and especially now with Aaron Rodgers gone, I think chasing that Green Bay wide receiver two should just be dead. But again, at the end of the second, I would take that. I have taken that shot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty close to both the – well, more – I think I might be exactly where Mike was, if I'm remembering his order correctly. The only kind of toss-up for me is between Rice and Downs at one and two, and I think Downs was Mike's first. I think I might put Rice ahead just because of what you said, Russ. So just maybe hoping we finally hit on that receiver in KC, the upside there. Yeah. Then it would be Downs for me. Then Mingo, cause of the draft capital, because of the surrounding cast, maybe giving him even more of an opportunity because, just like you said, there's not a lot there that's like Mingo. And then Mims, and then Reed.
All right. Well, that is it. That is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Before we do head out, Mike, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do. And me remembering that I did not say that in the beginning, like I usually do. Swing and a miss. But why don't you tell everyone now?
Sure. Yeah. So I am Mike. I am at NerdBoyTakes on Twitter. And we run a podcast called Dynasty Degens. So we have a Dynasty Degens podcast page on Twitter. We also have a Discord for Dynasty Degens as well. And we're, you know, constantly doing certain content for them. JC, I think JC's actually been on the show. Dynasty is my co-host. So we do certain stuff with them, and then we got some stuff on the burner as well that I won't drop quite yet because it's still not concrete. Ooh. But yeah, it's happening. So, ooh. And like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on the show for sure. It was a fun time.
And that is all that matters. We are here for the fun. And our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record and talk to us in the chat. And again, remind me of things that I miss and all of that fun stuff. And also the awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And besides that, fantasycares.org. There is a contest button up top. Then there is Celebrity Eliminators. We've mentioned it a few times. Go, you sign up. You could join leagues. They're all best ball. So you don't really have to do all that much. You just draft a team and then watch teams get eliminated every week of the season and just hope it's not you. And hope it's not a league where you're the celebrity and you get kicked out the first week, because that's definitely never happened to me multiple times in multiple years. But seriously, and it's Fantasy Cares, you know, when it comes to that stuff, you go, we hope you donate as well, which, you know, so happens to pop up after you hit submit. You know, so that's really about it. That's fantasycares.org. Go sign up for the eliminators. We have one, by the way, the Trade Addicts. We are willing to do as many as fill up. So go. And the cool thing about ours is we actually do trading during the startup. So it's a little bit of a, you know, extra fun because most leagues do not do that. It's just us and the HQ guys that have trading during the startup. Which we will, by the way, we will trade for zero reason just because we can. I say we, like I remind Rocky that he's part of it until we're like six rounds in and he's like, wait, this started? What?
Yeah, basically.
And then I'm like, okay, you can have the next few picks. He's like,
and then Rush just sends out like 50 trades that I'm not even aware of.
And then, yeah, like it's an 18 team league or 17 team league or something like that when the rosters are 16 players. Like by the time you hit round seven, you don't really even know who the guys you're drafting anymore. And that's when I let Rocky go take over. But yeah, hit that up, hit us up, join us, and night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dicey Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.